Brother Gerald, and we greet you tonight in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a few verses we're going to read this evening from the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans, chapter 1. The Apostle Paul could say in verse 14, I am debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Tonight I want to share with you four reasons why Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. As we think of this message, I think of various ideas of what the gospel is. And there are those who are preaching a gospel of revolution. They think it's good news. The problem with this type of thinking is that many times it doesn't bring good news. There are those who think it's a talk about social reformation and they think it's a good news. But you know, you can't reform a person until they've been saved. You can bring reformation, but unless a person knows Jesus Christ, they cannot be saved. And of course, in years past, not so much now, but there are still nations. And the cry many years ago was that atheistic communism was the answer. It was the good news, but it's not. It's not. In fact, years ago in Hyde Park in London, a communist was preaching about the fact, and he said, communism will put a new coat on the man. An old Christian shouted, yes, but praise God, salvation, the gospel puts a new man in the coat. And that's the difference. And there are those who think it's religious affiliation. They believe if I'm affiliated with some religious group, it's a gospel, but it's not. It's not. The gospel is good news. And the Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is the power of God. And I praise God for the privilege for 47 years in preaching the gospel throughout these islands and in other lands as well. What a joy it is to know that the message of the gospel is still good news. And even though we've heard it again and again, those of us who are saved, it somehow brings a note of joy to our lives. We think back of when we got saved, when we accepted Christ. I want to suggest, first of all, that the gospel of Christ, why I believe it is, Paul said he's not ashamed of it. Number one, it is a living gospel. Why? He says it is the gospel of Christ. You see, it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is the focus of the gospel message. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is he who could say to the religious leaders in John chapter 8, I tell you, he says, before Abraham was, I am. And immediately they wanted to kill him because they understood what he was saying. They understood his declaration. When it went back to the Old Testament book of Exodus, when Moses was called by God, and Moses said, well, whom shall I say has sent me? And the Lord said, I am that I am has sent you. And so they recognized that the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, I am. Seven times in the Gospel of John, he says, I am. In chapter 6, he says, I am the bread of life. In chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world. In chapter 10, he says, I am the door. And then in chapter 10, verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In chapter 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. In chapter 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then in chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine. Then in chapter 18, In our Bible, it's in italics, so it brings out the fact that it was not really in the original, but it was put there. But listen, when the soldiers came to arrest him in the garden, he says, who are you seeking? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And the Bible says they fell backwards. They were in the presence of the great I am. You see, he was before all things, and Colossians says he is before all things. He is the one who created the worlds. He is the one who came into the world. And, but he came for a purpose, as we know. The Lord Jesus came for a purpose. He said, for this reason came I into the world. Yes, we marvel at his wonderful teachings. We just glory in his wonderful works, his miracles. But he could not save us through his wonderful words. He could not save us through his mighty miracles. One day, he would have to go to the cross. I'm glad that we sang that beautiful song, The Way of the Cross Leads Home. Because I want to tell you something, friends. You may be wandering in your sin tonight. And you may be away from God, and you may be going that broad road that leads to hell into the lake of fire. But let me tell you, friend, tonight, the good news is this, that there is the way of the cross. And if you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the way of the cross, praise God, it leads safely home. Yes, so the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who came to die. And so he could say to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And Nicodemus was wondering, what was he talking about? And the Lord Jesus said, Nicodemus, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the first birth. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Later on, in verse 14, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then in verse 18, he says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Paul wrote, to the church at Ephesus, he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And then the apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and he actually describes what the gospel is. It is not all of this stuff that's being preached today by many preachers. He said, this is the gospel. In chapter 15 and verse 1, he said, I declared unto you the gospel. Verse 3 and verse 4, how that? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. He says, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. That is the heart. That is the substance of the gospel. And all of this other nonsense that people are preaching, it is not the gospel. It is the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. Yes, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a living gospel because it is based on the Lord Jesus Christ. But he died. He died. But you know why it's living? Because, praise God, the third day, he rose again from the dead. He is alive. He said in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth. And literally, he says, and became dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of death and of hell. He is alive. Jesus lives. Praise God, he's alive. And that's why the gospel is a living gospel, because it is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I've often said, when the Lord Jesus died, when he gave up and he voluntarily died, the Bible literally says he dismissed his spirit. When he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, and he dismissed his spirit. He did exactly what he said he would do in John 10:18. No man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. And that's what he did. When the Lord Jesus died, the devil thought he had won the victory. I've often said it, you know, I'm just using my imagination. I just kind of feel that he and all the demons pitched a party. for 3 days. Then praise God, the third day, the Lord Jesus rose from the dead and he broke up the devil's party. He's alive. We serve a living, risen Lord Jesus Christ. That is why Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. He said, it is the gospel of Christ. It is a living gospel. But secondly, it's a liberating gospel. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It liberates people. As you know, many of you, the word, the Greek word that he uses there is dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite or dynamo. Right now, we're sitting and we don't hear any engines running, but across the island there, the generators are running. And they're supplying power to this community and throughout Eleuthera and New Providence and other islands where the power is coming. We don't see it, but we don't see the power, but we see the effects of the power. We see the lights. You've seen what dynamite and explosives can do. We've watched on television when they have imploded one of those big buildings and the proper dynamite and the explosive put in proper places. When they do that, this building simply collapses because the foundation is gone and it collapses in a pile of smoke. That's power. But I want to tell you something. The dunamis, the power of God in the gospel, is greater than any explosive man can make. They tell me that in years gone by that when they put one of those rockets up into space, it took 7 million pounds of thrust. But I want to tell you something. The gospel of Jesus Christ has more power in it than all of the rockets that man has ever put into space. Because you see, it explodes people out of their sin. Literally, it takes them out of their sin. And it brings them into the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power of the gospel. Oh, friend, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And it can take a man or a woman who is steeped in their sin, a person who we look at and we say, there is no hope for that person whatsoever. But then they hear the liberating, life-giving message of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit takes the power of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And they are convicted of their sin. And they receive Jesus Christ. And their life is transformed. You see, it liberates them. It sets them free from sin. I may be speaking to someone tonight. And you are bound by your sin. One of my favorite authors in the secular world, as it were, is Charles Dickens. I enjoy his writings. And I always remember, and you know the story of A Christmas Carol. And in the story, Ebenezer Scrooge is visited by the ghost of Jacob Marley. And one of the things that wakens Scrooge is the fact that he hears chains dragging. And I always remember this line. He said, Marley, your chains are heavy. He says, Ebenezer Scrooge, you don't feel your chains? The chains of sin. And Marley said, he says, I wear the chains I forged in life. I girded them on link by link and foot by foot. My friend tonight, don't you feel the chains of your sin? For I want to tell you something. Sin is, it will wrap its chains around you. They may not be literal chains, but oh, it's a burden of sin that you have in your heart. Oh, it's the fact that you cannot break the slavery of that. Maybe it's a habit you have. It's a lifestyle you're living. The good news is this, that if you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as your personal Savior, praise God, He will set you free. He said in John 8:34, whoever commits sin is the slave of sin. Verse 36, he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And that's the good news of the gospel. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is a living gospel. It's the gospel of Christ. And it is the power of God unto salvation. It is liberating. It sets people free. Oh, are you free? The old gospel song said, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. And there are some of you tonight listening to this message, maybe here in the chapel. Maybe you're listening out in your home, or maybe you're in your car, and you are bound by degrading sins. They've got you bound. You are shackled. I want to tell you, friend, no matter how deep and how dark into sin you may have gone, Jesus, the Lord will set you free. It is a liberating gospel. There may be those of you who are bound by habits that are destroying you. I want to tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ can deliver you from habits that destroy. You may be filled with hatred in your heart and bitterness and anger against other people, and you feel like you might want to kill someone. Let me tell you something, friend. The Lord Jesus Christ will deliver you from those hatreds that blind you. There are some tonight, you feel like your life is not even worth living. Praise God for that beautiful song by the duet. He gave me something worth living for. Let me tell you something, friend. You may feel tonight that yes, you have nothing to live for. Your heart is filled with heartaches and life just seems worthless. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will give you something worth living for. He can change your life. We have seen people in the years of ministry coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting Him as their personal Savior, thinking about things that bind. So many years ago, down in Inagua, Brother Tom Roberts and I, in fact, in 1980, we had a gospel crusade. 5 churches came together for that. We had 2 weeks of tremendous meetings. A number of people came to know the Lord. And it was just a time of refreshing there in Matthewtown. I remember one day, this lady came to us and she was beaming her face was just aglow with a smile. She says, "My husband is saved, you know." We said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, he could not do anything without uttering several bad words, curse words." She said, "The other night he went forward and he was led to the Lord." She says, "I saw the proof today, because he was out there with a hammer and he was nailing something and he missed and mashed his finger." She said, "Ordinarily there would have been a string of words that followed." She said, I waited. And he said, "You know something? The devil is busy today." Praise the Lord. You see, no matter how hard it may be, let me tell you something, friends. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." It's a liberating gospel. But thirdly, it's a life-giving gospel. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Salvation. Salvation, it means you get life. You say, "But I'm alive now." No, you're not. If you've never received Jesus Christ, you are alive physically. But the Bible says in Ephesians 2:1 that you are dead in trespasses and in sins. You are spiritually dead, cut off from the life of God. You have no connection with God. That's in a simple way of putting it. The connecting line has been broken. It was broken by sin. And no matter how good you are, how moral you are, how nice you are, how religious you may be, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are still spiritually dead. You have no connection with God. That's why some of you try to read your Bibles and you can't make head nor tails of it. You see, you have to have the new birth. You have to be saved. You have to be born again if you're going to have that life of God. But if you haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ, you're spiritually dead. And no matter how close you try to get to God, there is still the sin that's separating between you and God, as Isaiah said. Your iniquities, your sins have separated between you and God. And that's why you need to be born again. That's why you need to be saved. Spiritually dead. The Bible says not only are you spiritually dead, but spiritually blind. The Bible says that if our gospel be veiled or hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not the gospel of God. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of God should shine in unto them. You are spiritually blind, spiritually dead. And earlier, I mentioned about being bound in the Gospel of Luke. You remember there was a woman that was 18 years bent over and couldn't straighten up. And the Lord Jesus touched her and healed her. And you know what? They complained, of course, the big thing was he did it on the Sabbath day. And they complained about it, and you know, the Lord Jesus Christ said, how much should not this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be delivered? And I want to tell you, friends, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are dead, you are blind, you are bound. And you need life. You need life. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, and he says in verse 10, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Before that he said, the thief cometh not but to rob, to steal, and to kill. But I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Do you know what it is to have spiritual life? The Bible says in that same Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened, you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. You see, that's why the new birth is absolutely necessary. It's interesting that in John chapter 3, Nicodemus came. He was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews and probably a very moral man and a very religious man. The indication that he was. And he shocked in his own, he shocked really when Jesus looked at him, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. You must be born again. In 1983, I was one of, I think, 11 from the Bahamas that attended the first Billy Graham Association sponsored, itinerant conference for itinerant evangelists held in Amsterdam in Holland. One of the plenary speakers was the former primate of the Anglican Church in Australia. And he spoke on his subject was why we must preach the new birth. And he said, you know, we must emphasize as evangelists, you must be born again because man is a sinner. My friend, listen, you have to be born again. The absolute necessity of the new birth. You cannot get to heaven. Jesus said you cannot get there unless you have that second birth. And he went on to describe what that new birth is. It's a birth that comes from above. It's a birth that is separate from our physical birth. That's one thing. But it's a birth that happens when we accept what God says in His Word we must do, that Christ died for our sins. We are all sinners. Every one of us, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The Bible says we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. That's why we must be born again. That's why we must be saved. And so the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. And the Lord Jesus went to that cross and he paid the debt of sin that we owed. And he gave his life for us. And he rose again. And that's why Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. I want to ask you a question. Are you saved? I didn't ask you if you joined the church. I didn't ask you were baptized or you take communion. Have you ever received, have you ever personally made, received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, understanding that you're a sinner? Repenting of your sin, for the Bible says, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever done this? Is there a time in your life when you can say yes? I realized I was a sinner, I acknowledged that I was a sinner, and I received the Lord Jesus Christ. If you did that, my friend, let me tell you something. The Bible says that you have been born again. If that's the reality in your life, you have been born again. But if you cannot honestly say that, then friend, listen, you need to accept the gospel message and be liberated, be set free, be saved. Have the life-giving message come into your life. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth him that sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Now you have to understand that you need to be saved. But you know what? You have to have an act of the will. You want to be willing to be saved. Remember in John 5, the Lord Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda. And he said to a man there who was hoping that someone would come and help him into the water so that he might receive the healing. You see, there was no guarantee he would be healed. But blessed the Lord be God, the Lord Jesus looked at him and says, "Do you want to be made well? Wilt thou be made whole?" When the man realized, he says, "I will." When couples stand in front of me or others who are marriage officers, the question is asked, put to the young lady, "Will you have this?" Or the young man, "Will you have this person give the name to be your lawful wedded wife, etc.?" And she has to answer, "I will." And the same thing with the man. Well, let me tell you something. God has already said, "I will receive that person." Now the question comes to you tonight. Will you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to have this living, liberating, life-giving gospel message come into your life tonight and be saved? It's an act of the will. You know, the fourth thing is, praise God, it's not a limited gospel. He said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Oh, I'm so glad. I was thinking about this and praying this afternoon and about the message. And, you know, I just started to thank the Lord for Romans 10:13. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thank God for that beautiful song that was sung. "Whosoever heareth, shout the sound." It's for whosoever. And he says, it is for whoever believes. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." You say, "Well, I believe." Do you? What does it mean to believe? John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God," or the sons of God, or children of God, "even to them that believe on his name." Three simple words. Let me put them in order. They're they're not in the order there, but it's said, first of all, we are to hear, we are to believe, we are to receive. We are to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive him as a gift. God offers salvation. You can't pay for it. It is a gift. The Bible said it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." And I'm glad it doesn't stop there. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. It says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You need to receive salvation as a gift. And God is saying to you, here is a gift for you. If somebody comes to your house this evening, they have a beautiful wrap package and they said, "Well, I've brought you a gift." You will not reach into your pocket and say, "Let me pay," or your purse, "Let me pay for it." But it's a gift. That's how insulting it is when people try to say, "Well, I have to work for it. I have to merit it. I have to earn it." It's a gift. It's free. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I'm so glad that it says, "Unto everyone that believeth." I was thinking, you know, it reached the religious Nicodemus in John chapter 3, but in John chapter 4, it reached that woman, that down, sin, burdened woman at the well. It reached an aristocrat like Joseph of Arimathea, and yet it also reached that poor beggar at the gate beautiful of the temple. It reached the powerful, religious Saul of Tarsus. But he could also write to Philemon of a runaway slave called Onesimus that he led to Jesus Christ, and he changed his life, and he sent him back no longer as a slave, but as a brother beloved. Praise God for the gospel. Have you believed it? Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know, it's a wonderful thing to know about the message of the gospel. It is a living gospel. It is a life-giving, liberating gospel, a life-giving gospel. And praise God, it's not a limited gospel. It's for everyone who believes. To the Jew, also to the Greek. I ask you tonight, have you accepted the message of the gospel? The good news that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. That's the message of the gospel. Have you received it? I'm going to ask that we bow our hearts and our heads in prayer here in the chapel. And if you're by your radio tonight and you're listening to this message and God has touched your heart, listen, you can do this right now. As Christians are lifting up the message in prayer, I wonder tonight, if there's someone here in this chapel who would like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, keep our heads bowed. I wonder if you just slip your hand up and say, Brother David, I want to receive the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior tonight. Is there someone before we go to prayer? Maybe you're out there and listening to the message. Is there somebody you can contact? But if not, you don't have to do that. Bow your heart, your head, and pray a simple prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I am a sinner for whom you died, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to come into my life, into my heart, and save me right now. I confess that I'm a sinner. I know that I am. I receive you as my personal Savior. If you do that here or in Radio Land, friend, listen. The Bible says that you will be that one of those who are liberated, who have the life-giving, liberating, living gospel. You come into the family of God. Father, bless thy precious word to every heart, we pray. And use it, Lord, tonight, this simple message of the gospel. Use it, O God, tonight, to the saving of precious souls. Lord, we thank you for those who have prayed that prayer. Help them to let others know. To contact the gospel chapel here in Spanish Wells and let people know that they've received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We thank you for your word in the Savior's precious, precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing 250. This is a beautiful old song. Once again, the gospel message. From the Savior you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? You turn and seek the Lord. 250. I'm going to ask the congregation to stand here and you sing it out. And friend, if you've received Christ tonight here in the chapel or you'd like to, please speak to one of us. We'll be at the door. I'll be at the door and others are here. And if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ or you need further help, give someone a call. Let us know that you have this need. We'd love to hear from you. If you've received the Lord, somehow let us know. We'd just love to hear about that tonight. 250 standing to sing, please.